Imagine walking into your office tomorrow morning, grabbing your coffee, and finding out that more than one in four people you work with are just gone.
Yeah, people who might have sat at the desks right next to you for years.
Exactly, just wiped entirely from the payroll. And we are not talking about, a slow attrition over a decade. We are talking about a purge over the last 2 years. Usually, when we discuss industry turnover, there is a natural, predictable ebb and flow. People retire, people move on.
Yeah, standard industry churn.
But according to the freshly released 2026 State of the Game Industry report from the Game Developers Conference, or GDC, an unprecedented 28% of game developers globally have been laid off in just the last 24 months.
It's a staggering reality to confront. I mean,
Yeah.
that number completely shatters the normal baseline for industry churn.
Yeah.
We aren't looking at an ebb and flow anymore. We are looking at a fundamental restructuring of an entire global workforce.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to dig into the findings of this 2026 GDC report, which is built on a massive web of sources.
Right, it's not just one survey.
No, not at all. We have survey data from over 2,300 industry professionals, transcripts from high-level investor panels, and broader market research analyzing where the money is actually flowing.
Which is crucial context.
Absolutely. And whether you are a hardcore gamer who spends your weekends in these digital worlds, or, a professional in logistics or healthcare trying to navigate the massive artificial intelligence wave hitting your own sector,
Yep.
or just someone fascinated by how workplace dynamics are shifting right beneath our feet, you really need to pay attention to this deep dive.
You do.
Because this report serves as a crystal ball. It is showing us the future of digital work, and the changes are happening incredibly fast.
That underlying relevance to the broader economy is vital. I mean, this is far more than a story about the entertainment business or how your favorite video game gets made.
Right.
When we look closely at the data inside this report, we're witnessing a massive multi-industry collision. We're watching generative AI, global capital allocation, and human labor crash into each other in real time.
And the gaming industry just happens to be ground zero.
Exactly. It's the canary in the coal mine.
Well, the picture it paints of the current job market is frankly brutal. Let's look beyond that global 28% figure. For developers working in the United States, that layoff number jumps to an agonizing 33%.
Wow.
A full third of the U.S. workforce has been let go. And if you narrow your focus to AAA
Those
studio,
are the massive publicly traded companies,
yeah,
right?
the ones making the multi-million dollar blockbusters, 66% of them have executed major layoffs.
Two-thirds. It's immense.
It is. So it makes complete sense that 74% of university students hoping to enter this industry are reporting that they are absolutely terrified of the job market waiting for them.
I mean, I would be too. We have to ask the critical question here, which is why is this happening all at once?
Right.
To understand the mechanism behind this restructuring, we have to address the catalyst heavily cited throughout the entire report, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, the shift in sentiment regarding AI over the last 3 years is like whiplash. Let's consolidate the data here because the trend is undeniable. Today, 52% of developers believe generative AI is actively harming the industry.
And that's a massive spike.
A huge spike. It's up from 30% in 2025 and a mere 18% in 2024. Currently, only 7% of respondents see it as a positive force.
What's fascinating here is the underlying dynamic driving that fear. That's what we really need to examine.
Okay, break that down.
So the report maps out a direct correlation between a worker's proximity to actual production and their hostility toward AI. The people who are most apprehensive are the ones whose hands are directly on the digital clay.
The artists and coders.
Exactly. The data shows that visual and technical artists, game designers, writers, and programmers hold overwhelmingly negative views of the technology. It's hovering around the 60% mark for them.
While the business and finance professionals in the industry are remarkably more optimistic, only about a third of them view it negatively.
And it highlights a crucial divide. The developers' resistance isn't some abstract ideological crusade against new technology.
Right, they aren't Luddites.
Exactly. These are engineers and digital artists. They build complex technology for a living. Their hostility comes from pure pattern recognition. They are observing how the tools are being implemented on the ground day to day, and they are assessing the threat to the quality of their work.
You know, the nuance in how they're actually using these tools right now is fascinating. It's like a chef being forced to use a microwave.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Right. Like, they'll use it to melt butter quickly, which perfectly explains why 81% of devs openly admit to using AI for brainstorming, and 47% use it for basic coding tasks.
Yeah, the prep work.
Exactly. But they are absolutely terrified that the restaurant owner wants to use that microwave to cook the whole meal.
That analogy captures the tension perfectly. The developers are utilizing generative AI for internal efficiency, melting the butter. They are automating the tedious, repetitive tasks.
Yeah.
But they recognize the severe limitations of the technology when it comes to the final polished output.
And the report explicitly confirms that. It notes that only 5% of studios are using AI for player-facing features.
Just 5%.
Just 5. The overwhelming majority are keeping it strictly internal. But this brings us to a massive disconnect. The divide between the artists creating the games and the business professionals funding them isn't just contained in the survey spreadsheets.
No, not at all.
It was physically manifested at the actual conference.
Yeah, the spatial layout of GDC 2026 itself became a literal representation of the industry's ideological split.
On one side of the conversation, you have the investor perspective. During a prominent panel, Moritz Bayerlentz, the head of gaming at Lightspeed Venture Partners, which is a massive VC firm, spoke directly to the audience.
And what did he say?
He stated he was shocked and saddened that developers were demonizing what he called a wonderful new tech. He really pushed back against the narrative that AI was driving the layoffs. Instead, he attributed the massive workforce cuts to a natural post-COVID market correction, a necessary rebalancing after everyone overinvested during the pandemic lockdowns.
And look, to understand the industry, we have to look at that perspective objectively. From the standpoint of capital allocation, the pandemic created an artificial, unsustainable bubble of engagement.
Because everyone was stuck inside.
Exactly. Entire populations were stuck at home playing games, so investments skyrocketed, and hiring surged to meet an anomalous demand. When the world reopened and people went back outside, that engagement naturally dropped, leaving studios bloated with massive overhead.
Right.
So from an investor's point of view, these sweeping cuts are simply a painful but fiscally responsible return to baseline reality.
I mean, I understand the logic of a market correction. I really do. But I struggle to see how an investor can just wave away a third of the workforce as a mere rebalancing when the companies themselves are pointing directly to AI as the reason for the cuts.
Yeah, the messaging is definitely conflicting there.
Wait, if AI is mostly being used internally just for drafting and brainstorming right now, how do companies justify using it as an excuse to cut half their workforce? If the AI isn't actually building the player-facing game, how is it capable of replacing the workers?
And that is the pivotal mechanism to explore. To see how this actually plays out in corporate boardrooms, we have to look at the case study of Block.
The parent company of Square and Cash App.
Yes, exactly. Just weeks before this GDC report was released, Block laid off nearly 4,000 people.
Wow.
That was half of their entire company. And the explicit justification their CEO gave to the public was that new AI coding tools from Anthropic and OpenAI offered them the option to fundamentally restructure their workforce.
So they cut half the company based on the promise of an AI coding assistant.
Yes. And here is the crucial financial mechanism. After they announced those AI-driven layoffs, Block's stock price soared. The market aggressively rewarded them.
Of course.
This aligns perfectly with vital research from Rafaela Sadoun at Harvard Business School. She warns of a self-feeding cycle occurring in the corporate world right now.
How does that work?
Well, a company announces massive workforce cuts and uses AI efficiency as the justification. Wall Street institutional investors love the sound of AI integration because it signals lower long-term labor costs.
So they buy in.
Right. They buy in, boosting the stock price. Mm-hmm. Competitors look at that stock boost and feel immense pressure from their own shareholders to achieve the exact same valuation bump, regardless of whether the technology actually justifies the workforce reduction.
It's an illusion of efficiency that transforms into a financial reality purely because the market buys the narrative.
Exactly. Ethan Mollick, a professor at Wharton who studies AI integration, analyzed this specific trend. He noted that it is incredibly hard to imagine any current technology providing a sudden, immediate 50% efficiency boost across a massive corporation that would organically justify cutting half your staff overnight.
It just doesn't exist yet.
No, the technology is impressive, but it does not have the capacity to autonomously do the complex, nuanced work of 4,000 people. However, if the stock market rewards the narrative of AI efficiency, The actual capabilities of the software almost don't matter to the executives making the cuts.
Which perfectly explains the sheer terror of the developers on the ground. They see the business side using AI as a magic word to appease shareholders and boost valuations, while they are the ones who have to figure out how to actually finish shipping a massive, complex game with half a team.
Precisely.
And when workers feel their livelihoods are constantly threatened by performative efficiency metrics and stock-boosting layoffs, they rarely sit still.
Historically, whenever human labor feels perpetually squeezed by rapid technological shifts and capital consolidation, it triggers a collective response. They build structural defenses.
And the survey reveals a stark reality about organizing in response to this pressure. According to the report, 82% of U.S. respondents now support unionization.
That's massive.
It is. And when you isolate the 18 to 24-year-old demographic, you know, the future of the industry, that support hits an absolute 100% zero opposition from Gen Z.
To see a survey return a 100% consensus in any demographic is incredibly rare.
It's unheard of.
It forces us to examine the differing perspectives on organizing here.
Mm-hmm.
From a corporate management standpoint, unionization is often viewed as a threat to agility.
Right.
Executives argue that collective bargaining agreements make it much harder to pivot in a fast-moving tech landscape, restricting their ability to restructure or adopt new tools quickly.
Sure.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, from the perspective of the developers, this isn't just ambient frustration about long hours. It is a calculated structural shift. 10% of the respondents are already in unions, like the United Video Game Workers, CWA, and over 62% explicitly stated they are looking to join one.
It created an incredibly surreal visual on the GDC floor. You literally had the campaign to organize digital employees booth sitting right next to a cluster of aggressively funded AI startups.
That is quite the image.
Yeah, and one of those startups was actively promising attendees that they would soon be able to build entire video games just by typing a prompt into a chat box.
You had two completely opposing visions for the future of the industry, sitting shoulder to shoulder.
Literally.
And regarding that absolute 100% support from the younger generation, you have to look at the context of their entry into this workforce. The traditional mentor-mentee relationship in game development has been fundamentally broken over the last 2 years.
How so?
Well, this new generation of developers just watched a third of the senior staff, the very people supposed to train them, get unceremoniously laid off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They are entering a field where the old, unwritten contract of work hard, crunch for the deadline, and your job is secure has been voided. So they view collective bargaining as a necessary defense that protects their intellectual property rights, secure severance guarantees, and place boundaries around how generative AI can be used to replace their roles.
But the laid-off developers don't just vanish, though.
No, they don't.
This brings us to a massive evolutionary shift in the industry. While these massive AAA studios are consolidating, fighting over labor rights, and constantly restructuring, actual game development is finding alternative pathways. If the big, vertically integrated studios are struggling to adapt to this new reality, who is actually stepping in to fill the void?
The data points very clearly to a rapid decentralization of game development. The true innovation and agility are being found out at the edges, not in the massive corporate centers.
Yeah, the indie market is undergoing a massive boom. Displaced developers are taking their expertise and forming their own agile studios. The report projects the indie market will hit $10.83 billion by 2031.
Wow.
It's riding an incredible 14.32% annual growth rate. And it's an incredibly global movement, heavily driven by the Asia-Pacific region, which holds over 44% of that revenue share.
It's a huge chunk.
It really makes you wonder, is the AAA model becoming too top-heavy, like a dinosaur struggling in an ice age, while indie studios are the agile little mammals? I mean, if you are a massive studio with a $300 million budget, you have to appeal to everyone just to break even. You can't take risks. These indie studios seem more like specialized strike teams.
That is a very accurate assessment of the operational data. These new indie entities have completely rewritten the logistical rulebook on how games are produced. For instance, the survey found that 88% of indie developers are operating fully remote.
So no big office spaces.
Exactly. They aren't paying millions for massive corporate campuses in high-cost cities.
They also aren't trying to do every single thing themselves. Half of them, 50%, outsource their art and asset creation. They are fueling a thriving $3.77 billion outsourcing market.
And if we look at their tech stack, it explains how a team of five people can build a game that rivals a studio of 500. Historically, building your own proprietary game engine was the standard for major studios.
Let's pause there, because the concept of a game engine is crucial here. If you are outside the tech space, think of it this way. Building a proprietary engine is like inventing a new type of camera lens, formulating your own film stock, and designing custom lighting equipment before you can even begin shooting your movie.
It takes years.
Years and millions of dollars just to build the tool.
Precisely. It was a competitive moat for the massive companies. But today, the report shows a massive dominance of licensed off-the-shelf engines. Unreal Engine is being used by 42% of developers and Unity by 30%.
That's huge.
It is. Only 19% are still burdened by using custom proprietary engines. Using your movie analogy, utilizing Unreal or Unity is like renting a fully equipped Hollywood soundstage. The cameras, the physics, the lighting, the memory management, it's all built for you. The indie studio can just walk in and immediately focus on directing the actors.
So the modern survival strategy is total specialization. Indie studios are only building what makes their specific game unique. You know, the narrative, the distinct gameplay mechanics, the creative vision. Everything else is partnered, licensed, or outsourced.
And we can see the artistic result of this lean methodology. Look at the Independent Games Festival, the prestigious awards ceremony that happens alongside GDC.
Oh, right.
The grand prize didn't go to some hyper-polished, massive-budget spectacle generated by a 1,000-person team. It went to a game called Titanium Court by a solo developer named A.P. Thompson.
A solo developer.
Yes. It won not because it was the most polished, but because it was the boldest. It took massive creative risks. It proves that in a market completely flooded with content, distinct creative vision wins over raw, brute force production value.
Which provides a very important counter-narrative to the entire AI discussion. I mean, if everyone can eventually use AI to generate a flawless, photorealistic 3D forest with a single click, then photorealism is no longer a differentiator.
Right, it becomes standard.
Exactly. A weird, highly stylized, hand-drawn forest suddenly becomes infinitely more interesting. But, you know, all of this decentralization raises a huge logistical question. If these agile, specialized indie studios are making all these games remotely, where are players actually playing them?
The platform landscape, the actual hardware we use to access digital entertainment, is shifting just as dramatically as the production landscape.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When developers were asked what hardware platforms they were most interested in developing for, the traditional PC obviously remained king at 80%.
Sure, that's expected.
But tied for second place. The mighty PlayStation 5, an absolute titan of the living room, tied at 40% with the Steam Deck.
Which is wild.
A portable handheld device that has only been on the market for a few years. It even beat out the unreleased Nintendo Switch 2, which sat at 39%.
To see a relatively new piece of hardware match the PlayStation 5 in developer interest is practically unheard of in modern hardware cycles. It requires us to look closely at the underlying mechanics of console development to understand why developers are flocking to it.
Well, if you've ever tried to launch a software product across different tech ecosystems, like getting an app approved for both Apple and Android, you'll understand the friction here. Developing for traditional consoles usually means dealing with a labyrinth of proprietary hurdles. It's like skipping the velvet rope at an exclusive club because you found a side door.
And the side door is the Steam Deck. The critical concept here is the SDK, or Software Development Kit. Historically, if you wanted your game on a major console, you had to apply for that manufacturer's specific SDK.
Which is a whole process.
Oh, it's a massive process. You had to prove your game wouldn't crash their proprietary system. You had to conform to their strict hardware limits. And you had to pay massive platform licensing fees. Then you had to go through a multi-month certification process just to get approval to push a simple bug-fixing patch to your players. It is an exhausting, expensive bottleneck.
But the Steam Deck fundamentally changes that equation. It is essentially just a portable PC running an open operating system called SteamOS.
That is the revelation for developers. If your game works on a standard desktop PC, it almost certainly works on the Steam Deck. There are no specialized SDKs to master. There are no prohibitive platform fees to a console gatekeeper. It completely democratizes access to the handheld market.
Wow.
Historically, if you wanted your game in a player's hands while they were sitting on the subway, Nintendo held the absolute keys to that kingdom. The Steam Deck proves that handheld gaming is no longer a closed monopoly. It gives these agile indie networks massive global reach without any of the traditional friction.
So what does this all mean? We've covered a tremendous amount of ground, but the logical through line from the GDC report is undeniable. we are looking at an industry rapidly splitting in two.
Yeah.
In one half, you have massive corporate consolidation, companies using the narrative of AI efficiency to justify laying off thousands of workers to appease institutional investors, and a workforce so anxious about their future, they are organizing at historically unprecedented rates.
And in the parallel reality, you have a renaissance of agility. Displaced workers forming specialized indie networks, working entirely remotely, leveraging open engines to punch way above their weight class.
Yeah, and delivering bold, creatively risky projects directly to players on frictionless platforms like the Steam Deck.
And as we noted at the beginning, you have to view this dynamic as a preview of the broader global economy. The video game industry has always acted as a canary in the coal mine for technological and cultural shifts.
It really has.
Think about the software introduced at your own job, how this industry navigates the integration of generative AI while balancing the very real demands for human labor rights is going to set a massive precedent. Whether you sit in a finance meeting, run a logistics network, or manage a hospital wing, the tensions we are mapping out at GDC 2026 are coming to your workplace.
It is the absolute frontier of the modern economy, and the rules are being written right now. Which leaves us with a final fascinating thought to ponder. We discussed how generative AI startups are aggressively pushing toward a future where anyone can just chat a complex piece of entertainment into existence.
Right, prompting a whole game.
Exactly. You type a prompt and a machine generates the product. But if that future arrives and the polished, flawless output of machines becomes instantly cheap and infinitely abundant, well, we just find it incredibly boring.
That's a great question.
When a machine can output perfect mediocrity in 5 seconds, will the boldness, the friction, and the human imperfections of games like Titanium Court become the ultimate premium feature that we actually crave?